the compassion of Jesus our Savior discovered is the message today. And let's start with Matthew chapter 9. Verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and the villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of disease and all manner of sickness. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were distressed, or they were fainting, and scattered, as sheep not having a shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest indeed is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he send forth laborers into his harvest. And now, Ezekiel 34. He looked upon the people, and they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And some words in Ezekiel about shepherds. Verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, even to the shepherds, Thus saith the Lord God, Woe unto the shepherds of Israel, that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, and you clothe you with the wool. You kill the fatling, but you feed not the sheep. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought back that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with rigor have you ruled over them. And they were scattered, because there was no shepherd. And they became food to all the beasts of the field, and were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains, and upon every high hill. Yea, my sheep were scattered upon all the face of the earth, and there was none that did search or seek after them. And now, Matthew chapter 20. Verse 29. And as they went out from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, Lord, have mercy on us, thou son of David. And the multitude rebuked them, that they should hold their peace. But they cried out the more, saying, Lord, have mercy on us, thou son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, What will ye that I should do unto you? They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. And Jesus, being moved with compassion, touched their eyes, and straightway they received their sight and followed him. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, let us know that as we think back over our lives, so many thoughts come to mind. We're so thankful that in the life of your Son, the things of eternal importance, enough of them, were recorded by thy Spirit to cause us to ponder and to learn about the heart of our Savior and the needs of men. We are thankful for the portions that we've read, the portions that encourage us, and the portions that rebuke us. We pray, our Father, that we shall learn from them, and that as sheep and as shepherds and as the will of God, we shall learn about all these things. And indeed, Jesus, the compassionate Savior, but we pray, our Father, that the compassion of Jesus, our Savior, shall be discovered today as it was by some that called upon him. Bless us to that end, we ask of thee. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Last week, two questions were asked. One was asked of our Savior, and one was asked by our Savior. The father who had a demon-possessed son had appealed to the disciples of our Lord to cast out the demon, and they were not able. And so when Jesus came down from the mount, this man went to Jesus and said to him, "If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said, "If you can, all things are possible to him that believeth." And the father cried out, "I believe, help thou mine unbelief." And then he who did not know of the Savior's ability and did not know of the Savior's compassion discovered them both. And so today, the portions are not concerning a Savior question about his power and his compassion, but it is a Savior whose compassion and power are believed in and are besought, that what he is and can do and the compassion that is his might be bestowed upon individuals that call upon his name. And so that is how the message today progresses from that of last week. The compassionate Savior indeed. And who knows him to be compassionate? Why, these two blind men. Well, let me tell you, most of us, when we hear Matthew 20 read, are unaware that this is the same event that is spoken of in Mark and in Luke. But if you read in Matthew and Luke, you do not know who these blind men are. And if you read Mark and Luke, you only know that there is one blind man. But when you read all the passages, you discover that there were two blind men, and one of prominence was named Bartimaeus. And we've heard of blind Bartimaeus all our lives. But when you read Matthew, you discover that there were two there. And unless you read Mark and Luke, you do not realize that they were not only blind, but they were beggars. That was their occupation. Because unless a man has special abilities, what can a blind man do to provide for himself and anyone that is responsible, that he is responsible for? And so when this portion opens, blind Bartimaeus and his companion are by the wayside begging. But, first of all, again from Matthew chapter 9, we discover the compassion of our Savior when he sees the multitudes. He looks upon them, and this is his pronouncement concerning them. They are scattered, they are distressed, they are fainting, And they remind our Savior of sheep not having a shepherd. Now, this is of the greatest interest because if you went to a psychologist and asked him about multitudes, he might speak of their being distressed, of their weakness and inability to cope with life, but he would not speak of their not having a shepherd as our Savior did. He would say what they need is psychoanalysis. What they need is the therapy that I can give to them. But the Lord Jesus says that is just what they do not need, because you find in the Scriptures those that were sick, and it says they had spent all their living on physicians and grew not better, but grew worse. And so there is no man with his human therapy that can heal the souls of sheep that are scattered, that are fainting, that are distressed. There is only one therapy that is the solution for their sickness. And had I read you other passages, you would discover that Jesus applied that therapy. It says he taught them the word of God. So simple. Multitudes distressed, not knowing what to do, their hearts fainting because of fear. And the Lord Jesus said, what they need is shepherds. And if the chief shepherd speaks to them the word of God, then the underlings must also speak to them the word of God. And I read to you from Ezekiel 34 about how God, in the nation of Israel, had supplied them with shepherds. Why, the priesthood. It said the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and these priests were to care for the sheep of Israel. But instead, I cannot believe such a thing. Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of the high priest Eli, they were base shepherds. They were those who, when someone would come to worship God and would bring a sacrifice, what was to happen was this. The sacrifice was to be cut into pieces, put in a cauldron and boiled, and the priest's portion that was responsible for this sacrifice, there was a three-pronged fork that he was to put in, and at random draw it, and whatever part of the animal came out, that was the priest. But what Hophni and Phinehas were doing was this. They would not come themselves, but they would send their attendants. And when the procedure was to take place, they would say, no, don't start boiling that animal. The priest wants roasted meat. And they said, after we have offered our sacrifice, let him take what he wants, but first, the priest wants meat the way it is. And by force, they would take the sacrifice away and give it to the priest. And something like that is spoken about when I read to you from Ezekiel 34. Instead of feeding the sheep, instead of caring for them, they fed themselves. They became enriched by those that have a heart for God. Now think of this. If the children of Israel did not bring sacrifices, they could not be robbed. And so the only ones that were robbed were those that had a heart for God. Their heart would be moved, and they would want to bring a burnt offering, and all of that went to God, or a peace offering, and some of that went to God, and some to the priest, and some to the offerer. And so with a heart of gratitude to God, they would bring a sacrifice. and the shepherds of Israel would care nothing for them. They cared nothing for God. They only cared for self-enrichment. And what happened? I must tell you this. The time came when Hophni and Phinehas, who had so disgracefully served God, in a moment they both were slain. And not only that, but the father who was responsible for them, that did not have power to cause them to cease their vile activities, when he heard of it, he fell backward off the stool and broke his neck. And so in a day, three perished. And what God tells us is that this was the condition not of Hophni and Phinehas and their father alone. The old man tried to do something, but he did not have the willpower nor the discernment. But all of the priests are rebuked by Ezekiel in not caring for the sheep. And I thought of this. I thought of what shepherds should do. And inasmuch as I am placed in this position, because when it says, when Christ ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors, and the word pastors is shepherds and teachers. And that has been the gift that God has given to me. And so if you look upon me as a shepherd, you cannot say that I do not love you, and you cannot say that I have not given you the word of God and have tried to keep you from evil. And you cannot say that I have not prayed for you when I have seen things happen in your lives. But you look upon the needs of the people of God, and yes, I can say you're not able to accuse me in certain areas. In other areas, yes, but not in those areas that are abominable. Like Samuel would say this when they were accusing his sons, and Samuel's sons had gone astray. He said, which one of you has ever had me to take a sheep or any of his possession from him? And not one of you can ever make that accusation. But at the same time, perhaps I should love you more and visit you more, but I always tell people, if you're at the point of death and in the hospital, I will be there to see you. And if on special occasions I come, but there are some, and they are there all the time, but I would feel as if I were intruding. But if there is ever a need and you call upon me, you know that there will be a response. And so I do not have a great guilt feeling in my responsibility as a shepherd. But the Lord Jesus is looking upon the multitudes. And when he saw them and they were scattered and they were fainting and they were distressed, and they were a sheep not having a shepherd, his heart went out to them. And he said, pray that the Lord of the harvest send forth laborers into the harvest. And what the Savior wanted would be shepherds like our Savior himself was in John chapter 10. He speaks of hirelings. He said, they see the wolf coming and they flee. They abandon the sheep. Why? He said, because they are hirelings and they are not shepherds. He said, but the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. And the Lord Jesus is the good shepherd, that great shepherd of the sheep, and all of the rest of us are our brothers, keepers, and some in a special sense, but all of us in a relative sense. And so when we pray, send forth laborers into the harvest, it means that we should be faithful, carrying out the will of God individually, and also those with ability to do things for you that others cannot. Am I not here this morning? And do not people contact me by computer and by telephone and ask questions, and I do not know any that I've said I'm sorry, I cannot bother with you now. Figure that out for yourself. I rejoice in such opportunities. But understand this, that what is needed when people are scattered is a shepherd, someone to bring them together. But I confess that I have no organizational abilities or leadership. I would not compel you. You should be here. You should do this. You should do that. I may hint at it, but I would be more like Ezra and not like Nehemiah. If he saw anything wrong, he would grab you by the beard and he would pull your hair out and make you do it. But I might suggest in a gentle way and hope that you would understand the exhortation that I was giving. But it says, and this is what is so beautiful, that when Jesus saw them in their need, it said he spoke the word of God to them. And so that is why whether a man with special gifts speaks or any child of God speaks, you should be here to listen, because you never know when God will speak. There are some things that I've discovered from those that had less ability than most, but they mentioned something in passing, and I said, isn't that a remarkable thing? Why, there is an answer to that portion of Scripture. And at times, it may be that God has laid upon the heart of a man with one talent, not two or five talents, but he has given him a message for the day. And he comes, and he simply reads a portion of the Word of God. And it's God speaking to us through that small, gifted shepherd. And we are blessed. I remember one brother years ago in Raleigh, and his gift was so small and so poor that when it was announced that he would speak, all the Christians would want to stay home. But at times when he spoke, he would quote certain portions of the Word of God, and he quoted a scripture, and someone was present and heard that scripture, and they said, why, he quoted this scripture, and that's when I trusted the Savior. And so you never know when God is going to have a word in season to you who are weary, or he's going to have a word of light that will save your soul. And so listen to the voice of God as the scriptures are read. And I thought that was very good when a brother came and said, I'm going to read this entire book, because at times some come and they read hardly any of the scripture, and then they do a lot of talking. But at least all the scripture was read here. And so what God wants is shepherds. We are our brother's keepers, and let us be concerned. Let us pray, yes, and as we have opportunity, it says, let us do good unto all men, especially those of the house of faith. Let us try to be shepherds, because the Lord Jesus was the good shepherd. And in the next chapter, in Matthew chapter 10, when he prayed that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into the harvest, he sent forth 12 to teach the word of God and to do as best they were able the same things that he was doing. So now it is discovered that Jesus is the compassionate Savior, and he has power. But this is a remarkable thing. I did not read the text, but I want to tell you about it now. When the Father said to the Lord Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us, the Lord Jesus said, if you can, all things are possible to him that believes. In one and another of the Gospels, it says this, that Jesus came to his own town, and he was preaching to them, and he was preaching, those that knew him listened to him and said, where did this man get those words? Where did he get this wisdom? We know his brothers, James and Judas and Joseph and Simon, and we know his sisters, and we know his mother. Where did he get all this ability? And it said that they would let him do nothing They had no confidence in him. They were faithless. And it said, Jesus marveled at their unbelief. And the Bible says this, he was not able to do any great thing there. Only he laid his hands upon one or another sick person and healed them. Jesus, not able to do anything. The Lord Jesus has told you about his ability. He said, if I am able, he said, that is not the problem. He said, if you are able, all things are possible to him that believes. And so the Lord Jesus said, I am able and I am compassionate. He said, what hinders you is your ability to believe that I am able to do it. And when he came to his own environment, they would not believe in him, and therefore, so little was done. And so let us think of how we fail and how little is accomplished. And it is not because, as it says concerning the Father, God's arm is not shortened that it cannot save, and his ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. But it speaks of our sins. And in this instance, it speaks of the faithlessness, the inability of them to believe that Jesus is able and compassionate to do anything. And it said, he was not able. I wish it would have explained it more, but it says, he was not able. And so you and I, by our faithlessness, make Jesus unable, the omnipotent one, make him unable to do things in our lives. And so let us not be faithless, but let us have faith. However, when we come to the individuals that are going to be healed today, and there are three instances when individuals are spoken of and their healings brought to our attention. Here is blind Bartimaeus and his companion, and there is no doubt in their minds that Jesus is able to do something. And if you read all the accounts, it says that they are sitting by the wayside. They are beggars. And they hear this great commotion, this noise. And it says, what is going on? What is all this noise that we hear? And they are told, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And that's all that they needed to know. Because they had the greatest confidence that if they could get Jesus to come to their assistance, he could open their eyes. And they were at a distance from him, and they cried out, Jesus, have mercy upon us, thou son of David, have mercy upon us. And the multitude said, quiet, keep quiet. It made no difference to them. They said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon us. And it said, Jesus heard them and stood still and said, bring them to me. Isn't that a remarkable thing? That the voice of blind beggars can arrest the progress of the Son of God and cause him to stand still for them. And that's what they did. And they insisted when others said, this is indecorous. Do not show yourself to be so crude. Quiet. It meant nothing to them. They were determined by the grace of God to be healed. And they knew this was the man that could heal them. And this may be their last opportunity. And they cried out. And when they did, Jesus heard them. And the other said, keep quiet. But Jesus said, bring them. And he said, now, what do you want? They said, Master, Rabboni, teacher, he said, that our eyes may be opened. And it said, Jesus, moved with compassion, touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight. And so Bartimaeus and his companion, they knew what Jesus could do. And it is so different because on occasion a man is sick, helpless, and Jesus comes to him and asks him, "Do you want to be made whole?" And then the man corresponds, discusses, talks with Jesus, and says, "Why, of course I want to be made whole, but I'm lying here, and when the waters are stirred up, someone always gets there before I do. I have no man to assist me." And the Lord Jesus had come to that man and asked him if he wanted to be healed. But in this instance, here is Timaeus, and he's crying to the top of his voice that he wants to be helped by the Savior. And the Savior stops and gives him his help. Isn't that a remarkable thing? At times, some do not even know who's talking to them, does not know what he's able to do. And yet Jesus comes and does for them. And at times others know what Jesus can do, but they must cry out to have Jesus to stop and give them assistance. And so they cry out. And there are some people who are visited often and implored to be saved. And others just casually hear about the Savior, and someone comes and speaks to them, and they get saved. And so it's impossible to discover the ways of God. But all of us know the ways of God now. And we know that Jesus is the compassionate Savior, and he is able. And when individuals have needs, the heart of the Lord Jesus is moved to pity to help them. Think of this. In all the instances that we have the compassion of the Savior spoken of, at times the same event will be mentioned. And when that miraculous healing is mentioned in Matthew about the Savior, then it's mentioned in Mark. We are not told in Matthew that the Savior, being moved with compassion, healed him. But when we read in Mark's Gospel, it said, "being moved with compassion, he healed him." And this is what we have to discover, that even though it does not say at times that Jesus had compassion, from a comparison of the healings of our Savior, he always had compassion. There was never a time that he was implored for mercy, that he did not feel in his heart compassion for the one that was demon-possessed, the one that was sick, blind, afflicted. He always felt it in his heart. And it would never be said of Jesus, "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." Always when Jesus spoke, it was with love. And always when Jesus acted, it was with compassion. And so last week, some did not know that Jesus had power and compassion. But now we all know that Jesus has power and compassion. As Bartimaeus called upon the Lord, let us call upon the Lord, and by God's grace, he will answer our prayers. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful for this shepherd that you sent to Israel. Our God, let us know that on the radio and on television and on the evangelical circuit, we are ashamed at times when we see these shepherds, and all we can say is that they are fleecing the sheep, and that they are feeding themselves. Our God, we have heard the conversations of some of them about their preaching. And so forgive us if ever our hearts have those tendencies, and let us be good shepherds, and let us be concerned if our brothers go astray. We remember that your word says, "If any brother be overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." And so let us, Father, be individual shepherds and shepherds in a greater way. And we pray that Tommy and others who have been faithful but now are departed, we pray that your voice shall be heard by them and you will restore their souls. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.